And welcome back to Unicorns and Hand Grenades, everyone. My name's Jax, and my co-host Kim and I are rapt that you've chosen to join us in this series of real and raw conversations that we'll be having with each other and our guests, where we explore the nature of being human and embracing life in all of its brutal magnificence. We hope you enjoy this ride as much as we enjoy bringing it to you. So let's get into the conversation. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Jax.
Hey, listeners. It's Jax here. Welcome back to Unicorns and Hand Grenades. We're giggling because it's been a while since we've recorded. So I don't know if you've noticed, but we normally do a weekly episode drop. And we've been going for a year now. So yay, happy birthday. We're a year down the track of weekly episodes. And we've made the decision to move to fortnightly so that we can keep bringing you really great quality content whilst balancing our worlds. And it also gives us a chance to let you get a chance to listen through the back catalogue. And we've got a specific topic we want to talk about today. Leading into it, thought it would be really cool just to reconnect for those of you that are new listeners, because we've got quite a few from all over the world that are starting to join us, is that when we started this out a year ago, we had a really clear intention, which was about shining a little light and sharing a little hope. And our sole metric for success was if only we impacted one person positively, then it was enough for us to keep going and keep riding on the journey. And off the back of the Kim Crossman episode, and we get this off the back of a lot of episodes, got a couple of amazing, really impactful messages from people who the episode had touched. And one of the people that contacted me ended the message with, "Thanks so much. You may not think you're changing the world, but you're changing the world for one person." And what it made me think about was, imagine if each one of us 8 billion humans spinning around on this rock of a planet started looking at our legacy and our way to leave a mark on this world as just simply making a positive impact for one person. Man, I know it sounds like Mary Poppins and Pollyanna all wrapped into one, but how freaking cool would that be? So starting off with that, just connecting us back to our intention, because when we started, we had a list of topics that we wanted to touch on. And the pursuit of happiness was on your list, Kim. And for some reason, it's taken us a year to get to it, but here we are. And I'd love to explore, what was your thinking behind having that subject on your list of things you really wanted to spend time talking about?
Happiness is something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about because of my experience with my parents. And also, I think happiness is something that, I mean, I'm speaking generally, but most of us want to feel. And sometimes we try and pursue that in certain ways, whether it be through consuming things, through, I don't know, taking substances, through distracting ourselves. We want to try and find this happy state, or if I do this, then I'll feel happy. If I get here, then I'll feel happy. And so after seeing things change all around me and essentially not being sure about how I might ever feel happy again or if I ever would, I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and thought that, well, it's interesting now that we've a year in and we've sort of come full circle on our journey, and that so appropriate message 1 year in from that person. Thank you, whoever you are, we love you, because we have made such an impact. But I'm still thinking about happiness a lot on the daily, and I guess my perspective on it has changed quite a lot in the last few years. And the realization that perhaps you achieve it a little bit differently to maybe what we conventionally think happiness is. But that's why I wanted to explore it, because it's something I think that all human beings want to feel, whether we call it love, joy, elation, happiness, contentment, whatever that might be, the pursuit of something that feels really good and makes us feel grounded and joyful in our lives. Yeah, so that's sort of where my thinking was at. And then as we were planning this session tonight, out the back of a pretty difficult few days for me. So we're recording this a few days after the post that I put up on our Instagram page about the beautiful gift that I was given by my auntie, which was a piece of knitting that my mum started when she was ill and she never got to finish it. So a big distraction for mum during her pancreatic cancer journey was knitting for my boys because they were babies at the time. And so she made these beautiful like lamb's wool and merino vests for them that they could chuck over top of their clothes and be really warm. But she loved knitting. She was very, very crafty. And so she knitted to keep herself distracted. And those little projects were sort of something that gave her to focus on when there was no future ahead for her to actually plan and focus on. And so she knitted until she couldn't hold the needles anymore. And after she died, I had this bag of knitting and I cannot knit. Like, I'm sorry, but that skill's been lost on me. So I gave the bag to my auntie because mum had already made her promise, you know, you're going to knit for Kim and the kids, you're going to make them hats, you're going to do this and that. So she'd made her promise that. I gave her this bag of knitting. I forgot that vest piece was even in there. And my auntie visited me on Sunday and she'd had it framed professionally. It's so beautiful. Go and have a look on the Instagram feed. But it completely threw me. I'd forgotten I'd given it to her. It was such a touching gift. It was so beautiful and thoughtful and brought all of the emotions back to the surface. And I felt really, really, really rubbish the last few days. Like I've had some really, a really difficult time. And I'm starting to come out of that now because it brought everything all back to the surface. And it's all of the underlying thoughts around, I can see what her face was like when she was concentrating on her knitting. I can see her hands moving so quickly because she was so skillful. And then I wonder how that felt for her knitting, knowing she wouldn't be alive to see the boys big enough to fit that. Like that must have been pretty painful for her. And so out the back of a difficult few days, I began thinking even more. And although we planned this episode before that event, it's so much more relevant. And I guess this recent experience that I've had, you know, brings up to me, I guess, the notion that happiness, it is possible to feel happy and sad both at the same time. Like I would start by saying that because I think that the opposing emotions make us appreciate the other one even more. So feeling sadness and grief or, you know, sorrow makes you appreciate those moments of joy. But while I'm a happy person, generally, I have moments where I'm not feeling particularly happy because happiness, I feel like it's a moment-to-moment scenario. You're not just always happy or always sad. There are all of these moments and they're fleeting. And I was talking to my husband the other night because I said to him, I just feel really sad. Like for the most part, I am getting along with things pretty well and I've accepted what's happened. But sometimes I just feel really sad about it because I miss them so much and I just, you know, whether I wish it wasn't or I wish I could change things. I said, I feel really, really sad. And I was having a big cry. And he said to me with his real simple wisdom, which is amazing, he was like, Kim, you can't be happy all the time. And I was like, yes, you're right. But I want to be because I don't like feel like, you know, after 3 years of feeling all the feels, which we talk about a lot, I still don't like it. It's hard and it's painful and it's not very nice. I want to feel good all the time. I think all of us want to feel good all the time. And that's why this episode, I think, is relevant and why I wanted to explore it. Because I know that it's actually not possible to feel good all the time. But what I'm realizing is when the difficult times come, I'm very self-aware. I can identify those and I have faith that they pass so that I don't feel stuck there. It's still not nice, but it happens. And so that was kind of, I guess, the background of this and the real relevance of what's happened in the last few days. And I feel like me is starting to shine again through a little bit, but I just felt tired, lethargic, blue. I just didn't really have any motivation. And then I was like, oh man, this is because of the weekend. Like, I was wondering, am I coming down with something? Like, am I getting sick because my kids haven't been well? But no, it was actually just me, I guess, physically processing before I actually mentally realized that it was because I was feeling all of those feels again after getting that beautiful but painful gift.
Yeah, that feeling, all the feels, sucks, hey, sometimes.
It does suck.
It sucks, except when they're the happy feels, because they don't suck. They're the ones that are good to dive into even deeper. And listening to you, when you got that knitting and you messaged me about it, I knew that in that moment there was such deep love and joy that you were experiencing. And I had a gut feeling that it was going to hit you, because in my journey and involvement over the years, what I've learned is that when you're in deep pain, like the pain we went through years ago, within deep pain, it's possible to experience joy at the same time, because you're cracked open. So the joy that you can experience when you're in deep pain is just so poignant and different. And as well, when you were speaking, there was a sense of, we have happiness as this goal, which is where the pursuit of happiness comes from. Hey, we're pursuing it to catch it. And then there's a judgment on ourselves when we can't maintain that state, was another thing that bubbled up for me when I was listening. And I learned something new that I didn't know. Lots of our listeners might already, but Thomas Jefferson included and enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, quote unquote, the pursuit of happiness. It's a basic right in the Declaration of Independence, and I never knew that. So it's kind of like, wow, this has been around for a while. And for him, I think back then it appeared to be a euphemism for that chasing wealth, you know, being able to go to America and go from rags to riches and get your dreams and earn that happiness, I guess. And then I also was doing a little bit of background research, and Epicurus, who's a Greek philosopher, like way back in the day, 270 years BC or roundabouts, he looked at that whole thing. He did a lot of work around happiness and hedonism, and he flipped that rags to riches. And so for him, when he looked at happiness, he looked at it more through the lens of riches within rags, which simply put means that if you cultivate close relationships and connections, and then you limit your desires to the essential necessities of life and rejoice in the moment, happiness is yours to keep. And when I read that, I was like, man, this is a Greek philosopher way back in the day. But that pretty much nails it for me, because my view of happiness has changed so much over the last 3 years as I've evolved and mellowed. And for me, what it feels like now is to be deeply connected to presence, and this has taken a real work on for me. It also means to have the grace to allow myself to be in the presence of any moment without resistance around the situation. And that took me a while to get to. You know, my marriage ended in not a great way. My ex-husband's was someone closer to my son's age than mine. So there's been a lot of work done around this, but that was the thing. Even in that situation, that the healing got me to, it's just this grace and this is my situation. One foot in front of the other is how I get forward. There's just pure acceptance in the presence, and then the presence changes and evolves. So the present morphs into happy. It morphs into those yay moments and those gray moments that you were talking about. And so that for me, when I was thinking about this episode, was what I landed on for what it means to me now, which is so different that I wouldn't even probably use the word happy for it.
Yeah. Yay moments and gray moments.
I know.
I love
that. That came to me when you were talking before, like when you were describing the ride, it was like, oh, yay. Oh, gray. Yay, gray. Yay, gray. Yeah. It's like life on a daily rotation. Yeah, that's how it plays out.
It's like the weather. And I sort of figured that out pretty early on, you know, that it comes and goes, and that you can feel both at the same time. Because when, like, when mum and dad were alive and unwell, and there was this big cloud overshadowing everything, there were still real significant moments of happiness and joy amongst that, despite crying one minute and laughing our asses off the next. Mm-hmm. And so what I've come to realize is that happiness takes hard work and dedication, and it is a moment by moment choice. In terms of, one of my best friends said to me, Kim, you've just got to choose the better feeling thought. And I was like, wow, that stuck with me through the whole thing. It's like, you can choose, there's two sides to a coin. There's this is happening and da 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 da, or there's this is happening and I'm going to focus on this or make the most of that. And so because it's a choice, but it takes hard work and dedication, we will feel those feels, and I do, because there's also, I can't hide from it because it'll come and bite me. But then it's identifying when that stops being helpful or healing and moving on from that. And so one of the other things when I was thinking about this episode was the notion of instant gratification versus choices for long-term wellness and healing / happiness, you know. So because the whole instant gratification thing is like, let's go out and have some drinks, or let's go take something and have a great night, or let's buy something, or let's watch something and zone out, or let's, you know, let's do something right now that makes us feel really good, versus taking care of yourself, getting an early night, like having some quiet time, spending some time looking after you, saying no to that social invite, talking to someone that you trust, you know, those not necessarily preferred or easy options, but making those choices for your happiness.
Yeah.
And so that was something, you know, that I thought quite a bit about, because the before Kim thought that happiness was like going on the holiday, buying the thing, getting the next job, I don't know, buying that house, doing this, doing that, having that thing, blah, blah, blah. Now, the Kim now is like, happiness for me comes down to two things, experiences and relationships, not things. It's like, you know, did I, you know, have a really neat time catching up with some friends and having deep and meaningful conversations and actually, you know, connecting? Or did I go to, I don't know, that concert or that, you know, birthday party with the kids, and did I actually enjoy myself there? It's not about stuff, but I think we plug all of this stuff in hoping to feel different. And then when that doesn't work, we try and find the next item, the next whatever it is. But actually, like Jimmy said, like we've talked about a lot, happiness or whatever label you want to put on that is an inside job. And if inside it's real shit, and we haven't, I guess, considered some things or asked ourselves some really, you know, serious questions, then nothing outside will ever make us happy. It won't make us happy. It can contribute to our happiness. But now my thinking is, well, having a new house would be great because it would allow me the space to have everybody and their kids over so we could have a neat barbecue. But it's not like the house, the pretty house, would make me happy, but you have to choose in that moment to accept and feel contentment with what you have, which is so much easier said than done.
Yeah, isn't it though? That choice for me, if I think about it in the context of a journey of a hand grenade moment, it's that victim mentality versus, yeah, looking at what's happening to us as an opportunity to learn and grow and an opportunity for our soul's progression. So that's, for me, that's how I translate that choice when I hear you say it. And do you remember in your psych studies, the marshmallow experiment? That's all right. You did your degree on that. Well, I'm going to probably expand on it and not get it 100% right. But the guts of it was, when they were doing studies and research about instant gratification, they actually got groups of children and put them in a room with a plate with either one. I can't remember. Details irrelevant. We're not scientists or psychologists, just to be clear. Put the child in the room with a plate with a marshmallow on it and left them there for a period of time and said, you can either eat this now or wait for the X amount of time to pass and we'll give you another three. So their choice was wait for 5 or 10 minutes and get four total or scoff the one that's on the plate. And then they tracked these children over time. So all of the kids that scoffed the single marshmallow and didn't want to wait 5 minutes for more, the ones that were drawn to the instant gratification, weren't as successful, quote unquote, as the ones that were able to delay gratification for longer term success. That's what came up for me too when you were speaking before.
I've seen friends who have done that, like on Facebook and stuff, and videos of their kids and been like, don't eat this, mummy's going out of the room, I'll be back soon, don't eat it. And then some of the kids have been like egging each other on and it's really cute. I wonder what my kids would do. But yes, I there is definitely an element of it's a coping strategy, and it is easier to, I don't know, numb or distract or do something else that makes us feel joy in that moment. But especially like mum and I always used to go on these little missions and we'd go shopping and stuff. And then when she was sick, she's like, I don't even want to go shopping anymore. Cause why would I buy stuff? Cause I'm not going to need it. And then we were like, oh, this sucks. No, we don't want to do that anymore. And it actually killed it for me. And still has, you know, to a degree, unless there's something that I need to replace or whatever. But my complete mindset around that shifted because it didn't actually bring me, like, there might be a moment of feeling really good and then it's like, oh, no, nothing's changed, has it?
No.
And so that was a big lesson for us while she was still alive. And that's that whole notion of like everything that glitters is not gold, like the sparkly, shiny, exciting new thing now is cool momentarily. But again, you're still you and your circumstances haven't changed despite having this thing that you thought was going to bring you happiness. Well, maybe the pursuit of happiness is actually the wrong way of framing this up, because otherwise it sounds like it's something that you can never be reached. But, you know, the pursuit versus the choice for, because it's all, yeah, it all starts within. And I remember too, after mum and dad were gone, feeling really happy about something or feeling really excited about something, and then feeling really guilty about feeling that, because how can I be happy, in inverted commas, when they're not here? And I had to snap myself out of that pretty quickly. And I had their voices in my head being like, don't be ridiculous. We want, you know, I know they want me to be happy. And so this pursuit of happiness too has, I guess, been spurred on by the fact that I know they want me to live my life as fulfillingly as I can. But there is that element of judging yourself. What's the socially acceptable period for grieving? And then again, when the wheels fell off for me this week, being like, man, maybe I'm not as far along as I thought I was, but no, actually, this is just that topsy-turvy ride and I know I'm completely normal. I just don't want to feel like shit, but sorry, we all do, and it comes back, and grief is just that gnarly, I guess, journey that ebbs and flows throughout our whole lives.
Yeah, that's true, and it's come through from so many of our episodes and listening to you, that experiences and connection with people, that's how you find fulfillment. So maybe even fulfillment is the word, right? Fulfillment, presence, contentment. Everyone's going to have their own definition of it, but I think it's quite important to be really intentional in life. And probably my view on that is born of the fact that everything was stripped away from me. So I got this amazing opportunity to grow and to reconnect to myself and to my intention of how I wanted to live. And so for me, when I was thinking about this episode and I was thinking about happiness, like so much stuff in my life now, there's this really clear line of before and after. So before I had the opportunity to press reset and build my own life, starting with doing the healing and doing the work and taking the responsibility for my choices around being sad and hurt and a victim, or learning my lessons and really growing, there were some really clear things that stuck out for me. So when we did the episode with Chip Conley, strategist, advisor for Airbnb, founder of the world's first midlife wisdom school, where I've hung out for a while, he talked about Carl Jung's research, whereby at a certain point in life, we move from our ego as our primary operating system into our soul as our primary operating system. And the before for me was ego, and the after has been soul. And so the differences for me, they were just like night and day when I started thinking about them today. So career, before shattering, it was all about getting to the highest point in your career that I could. So I was a senior leader in one of New Zealand's biggest corporates. I was part of a senior leadership team that caught up with a CEO as a group every quarter. I was getting career tracked, and you have to be really conscious about your career when you're in those talent pipelines. And so that was a measure of success, right? The dollars, the role that you were sitting in. Now for me, man, I couldn't have flipped it more. So it's not about the dollars for me. It's about a diverse career where alignment is the thing that drives my decisions, that I can meaning make for myself and others, and that I can make impacts that are connected to my why. And that sounds really big, but it's not actually. When you pair it back, it's really simple. It's doing the podcast and making that difference to that one person who we know there's so many one people out there. It's doing the leadership work that I do, where I can see people connect to themselves in such a deep way. I know it's going to impact the people that they lead. It's just so many cool opportunities, but I'm really conscious about that. Before, in relationships, it was the sign of a good relationship based on what I grew up with was the longevity of it. So the length of the marriage, not necessarily how both people were sitting within it, happily or not, making my ex-husband happy, making my son happy. My happiness was derived from theirs. So when your happiness is derived from the outside versus the inside, it's reliant on someone else being happy. Someone else is pissed and having a bad day, or, you know, diagnosed with cancer or whatever, that impacts you. But when you're solid and grounded, now for me, relationships aren't about, you know, when I get into my next one, it's not about someone else making me happy or me making them happy. It's two people who are really happy in their lives and enjoy their space. And then you come together and go, how can we support each other, but we stay grounded in our own space? Travel is different for me. Like before shattering, it was every year go to a beach resort, lie there for 2 weeks, probably took a week for my adrenal glands to go down before I could actually get off that really high buzz of the world I worked in. Now it's about adventure. It's about experience. I've got one of the great walks, Paparoa, booked in Christmas, 40 kilometers, staying in huts, eating camping food, things I never would have thought of before. But it's just knowing those differences. Even fitness was hardcore because I grew up as a personal trainer and I was an aerobics instructor back in the day. So everything about fitness was, you know, hardcore, highest level. Now it's actually about, I've just had an injury. I've been off for 8 weeks. I've had to start back from scratch. I can't run for a while. It's just, you know, just acceptance. It's actually about well-being, longevity. Everything's flipped. And so I don't know, I know that was a bit of a ramble, but I think sometimes we're not conscious around what it means to us, where we're at, and how that could flip for us, that choice point. Because I never would have made those choices to the flips that I've talked about unless my world blew up.
That's right. And you also didn't have space in your life before to actually explore that properly.
No.
Because there was so much going on. And then literally all of it changed at once. So it was like rewriting the book from scratch and rediscovering what lights up your soul. And so that was a real massive shift all at one time versus, I guess, peeling back the layers of the onion slowly.
It's like smashing the onion with a mallet.
Dropping it from the top of the highest building.
Yeah.
I was listening to you talk about ego versus soul, and you know, that you move from that ego operating system to that soul operating system. And I, when I posted that picture of the knitting, sometimes when I post stuff like that, I get this real like vulnerability hangover afterwards, because before even doing this, I wasn't much of a sharer. Like, I'm quite a private person. And so who would have thought would be plus 40 episodes into a podcast talking about like our musings on all stuff really deep. And I thought after I posted, I was like, why would anyone care about this or want to see it? And on my personal Facebook page, I swear I had like 100 comments, people being like, I'm crying, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Hopefully it inspires someone to do that, something like that for someone else. But that was the ego talking. That was the like, oh, this is really me putting a lot of stuff up there. What if people think that it's oversharing? You know, da 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 da. I don't want sympathy. But then when you talk about it like that, and then I look at it from the soul perspective, it's like helping one person know that just because you're not nailing life all of the time, that it's not a complete failure. You know, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm fine, I'm over it, everything's good, I'm happy as, life's amazing. Sometimes there's moments where I feel like rubbish, but I probably would not have said anything about that before. And so people are like, look at Kim, she's so strong, she's just getting on with it. It's like, well, actually, let's be real here. And so now I feel, you know, I feel fine about it, but I feel a whole lot better about it now, because I'm like, this is the soul space talking. And maybe there are some people that look and are like, man, I wouldn't share that. And it's like, well, that's fine. I'm doing it because I want to try and, yeah, help one person or start a conversation that matters or, you know, share something real. And so, but that's hard to do. I still find it hard to do on the podcast, but then this is the stuff that changes the world. And that's, you know, when I die, people aren't going to talk about what kind of belongings I had. I want them to say that I was a really good person and I tried to make the world a better place, like in my own little way. Like, that's what's really important to me. And so that's, I guess, the happiness barometer, and how you can kind of, I guess, pursue that is go, well, in terms of my impact, am I shining light for someone else? Am I spreading a bit of hope? Am I being a good human?
Yeah. I think there's a few things in what you said that they were making me smile. Clearly our listeners can't see that while you were talking, because I'm not sure if given what we do that people realize that is that I would keep everything so tightly locked down that the thought of sharing a feeling or sharing anything about my lessons or learning would have been a sign of weakness, because resilience is just not sharing, it's just getting on with it, shoving it down. And both of us were really uncomfortable in that space. And that, I think, is what I think people can see through bullshit. So I think when we share, whether someone looks at a post like that and thinks, wow, that's amazing, or, oh, that was an overshare, there's details of both of our journeys that we could share more of to impact more people. But there's a line there, right? Because it's about the intention. And so I think when the intention's pure, it just really switches things up. But when you were speaking, it just took me back to the days when we were working together. And even though it's so interesting, because both of us were quite good at buttoning down, and you would have seen me do it in my role because you were there as my HR business support, yet there was something underneath the fact that we both didn't like vulnerability and we both didn't share, that we had the skill to see into others. And so we could see in each other, I think, then, even though we were strong and hiding and not sharing, we could still see in each other the stuff that is beyond that, which is interesting, right? How two people who both had the same, I guess, work personas and didn't want to be vulnerable could have a connection that was deeper while still having those perceived barriers. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's soul connection and the soul pod piece, and you just find your people even when you're not in the place that we are at now, you still know your people at a level beyond how they present. Oh, that probably sounds so weird. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, no, it totally makes sense, but I think that's probably how we ended up reconnecting back when this thing started. But you know, when I think about the post and the moments of feeling a little bit about it, it's like, well, what have I actually got to lose? Like, I didn't put anything, you know, it's not like it's consequential in terms of my security that I put stuff out there. It's just me being vulnerable, but what have I got to lose on that? And if I'm not for someone, that's okay, because that's their choice, not mine. I don't want everybody to like me, and that's not even the aim of it. But I think when we're pursuing the feeling good or the happiness or whatever you call it, if we're hiding behind worries about sharing too much or what everybody's going to think about us or this, that, and the other, we'll never get there. And so part of it for me has been shedding some of my own ideas about not putting too much out there or, you know, keeping a lid on things. And actually then when I've had to let go of some of that stuff, I have had some wonderful conversations on this podcast and some incredible feedback from people who have really benefited from and been helped by our conversations. So I'm like, well, why wouldn't we then, even if it feels a little uncomfortable at the time?
Yeah.
Because, you know, my job, we've talked on another episode, and that's going to be coming out soon, about sometimes the things that add real meaning to our lives and fulfill us are not necessarily our jobs. They can be our other things, our side hobbies, like this podcast for us, for example. This has been the biggest project of my life in terms of actually, it has contributed to my own sense of well-being and joy, but that of others as well. And when you think about outside of ourselves, so ego is us, soul is outside of us, and the world and doing good in general, this is where we've been able to step forward a little bit and put that out there to benefit others, and that provides that fulfillment, not the things, not even the praise. It's like just knowing that someone else can take what we've given and maybe use it to help them through their own situation.
Yeah. And that, God, that ego's a kicker. Mm-hmm. It's a theme that comes up a lot. And as I was describing before, that now I've moved more from the ego operating system to the soul operating system. Don't get me wrong, I don't sit in that space all the time. You should hear some of the conversations Kim and I have outside of here about real life stuff that triggers the ego. But I know what my ego triggers are, and I know where my Achilles heel is around them. And I guess the difference now is I catch myself earlier when I'm falling into it. And if there's anything where I'm feeling like I can just pick it up quicker, and I'm able to sit above it and just see it as a little bit of an ego tantrum. And then I can move away from it a lot quicker than I could have in the past, because it doesn't become as meaningful as it once did. Because I know it's just a part of the human design is to kick up about stuff that makes us feel like we're under threat. I put something out there, I feel vulnerable, or I put myself out to a person and got nothing, or, you know, and then the ego starts to spark. Like, we all have our bits where we're still a little bit sensitive around that stuff, I think.
Yeah. And practical advice, like in terms of what really helped me this week. So I know in terms of, you know, feeling happy or feeling content is definitely for me about being grounded in the present moment. So being really in the here and now, because I think we've said it before, like yesterday is gone, tomorrow is an illusion, we've got our present moment. And so when I was sort of ruminating in this story about how it must have felt for mum and the knitting and the pain and all of that, I messaged my personal trainer and I was like, I need to come, I need you to kick my ass. Like, I actually just need to get this, I just need to be so focused on exercising that I can't think about anything else. And so, and exercising for me always clears my head and snaps me out of my funk. So we went yesterday. I can hardly walk today. We did a lot of boxing. I punched it out and she was like, I've never seen you so focused. I was like, I just need to be in this moment. And get it out of my system and be now. And I think that's why the why adventure sports and the adrenaline stuff has such an appeal for people. You know, and we were in Rotorua a couple of weekends ago and I went on the luge and we were smoking it down that hill. There is nothing else you can think of in that moment but like the pure adrenaline of just going for it. And there is no room for thought. Like you're free of the story, of the pain, of whatever it is, even if it's just for a moment. So I can see the appeal of that adventure sports stuff or the stuff that really has you in the moment, whether it's exercise or meditation or whatever it is, because you can only be there. And so that's also when I have those moments, if I'm at home with the kids, like we'll go and play or do something really fun. I leave everything else, my chores and all that. We'll do Lego. We'll go for a walk. We'll go find bugs. Like we just go and do something so that I'm right there with them in that now. And that is a really joyful moment where you can sort of leave the rest of the noise behind. So I don't know, not saying to go bungee jump, but you could try something that gets you gets your blood flowing a little bit. Snap me out of my funk. And that's what I said to her. I was like, I feel better. At the end of it, I was like, I feel so much better. And today, literally, my head's screwed back on again. I feel much better.
Mm. It's good to know that about yourself. But listeners, if you're in a dark alley and you come up against Kim, watch out, because clearly she's refined to kick ass.
I didn't sound particularly coordinated.
Boxing skills. I feel like you are selling yourself up there. I have visions of like training with Richie Hardcore and so that's a good tip. I've got nature for me because I had a few things that threw me last week, so I have a day off during the week, so I just jumped in the car and went up to Karikari on the most amazing day. It was insane. That place to me, it's a, for our overseas listeners, it's a wild West Auckland beach. It's like a land before time. There's just something that's just so, I was the only soul on it, so beautiful. So I went out there and I was thinking of something to leave our listeners with in terms of that question is define what happiness is for you. And if it's similar to what it is for Kim and I around that, just allowing yourself to be present in the moment, think about what are your touchstones during the day that you can use to connect you to the present moment. So a touchstone is, if you've ever watched the movie Inception, it's like that spinning top that Leonardo DiCaprio used to help him figure out if he was in a construct of the imagination and story or if he was back in real life. Cool movie to watch if you haven't seen it. But what's your thing? Is it a post-it note? Is it a pebble that you carry around in your pocket? Like what is a touchstone that can bring you and remind you of the present moment? Epicurus, who I talked about before, said nothing is enough for the person for whom enough is too little. So nothing is enough for the person for whom enough is too little. So what is your enough? Define what your enough is. My enough before shattering was different than my enough now. Yeah, so define your enough.
Leading on from that, if you hear yourself thinking a lot about I'll be happy when or when this happens, it's like, well, what about now? What are the things now that you have that, you know, are enough for you right now?
Yeah, completely. And then once you've defined your enough, what are you chasing in excess of that, which is exactly to your point? You know, what's your enough? And then what are you chasing that's over and above that? Because that helps you bring a conscious lens to the choices that you're making and what you're chasing. And then another thing to think about is what positive impact would being more present and accepting of the current moment add to your life? Because sometimes when we think about what's the positive impact, it just helps us connect to it a little bit more. So that was mine. I'm rounding up.
Yeah, and then one more thing too is if we can't seem to identify what that is for us, what can we do for someone else? Because you know how great we feel when we can be of service or help someone or do something kind or just, yeah, look outside of ourselves. Can you do something for someone today, whether it's, you know, give them some feedback on something or thank them for something or, you know, maybe it's go and visit someone that you know, whatever it might be, what can you do for someone else if you can't think about what to do for you?
I like that, because being of service literally grounds you in the present moment because you're not thinking about you. Yeah, that's an awesome one to leave people with. And rounding up, because when Kim and I do our own episodes without a guest, we like to say a shout out to any new cities that are popping up on the listeners list that we look at. And so we've had quite a few listeners from, well, we've got listeners in New York, we've got listeners all over the US, but a particular place in New York that hopefully I pronounce correctly, Cheektowaga, 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 New York. So howdy to all of our listeners, and thank you. But yeah, great to have you join us. And that's it from us for this week. Go out there, pursue presence, connection, experiences, whatever it is that lights up your fire. We will see you for a next episode that's incredibly impactful with Reality Hub host, voiceover artist, and actor Stephen Brunton. We'll share more with you about that as we head into the next couple of weeks. Have a great rest of the week, and thank you as always for joining us in these conversations. Until next time.